ಓಂ ಸಹನಾವವತು ಸಹನೋ ಭುನಕ್ತು ಸಹ ವೀರ್ಯಂಕರವಾವಹೈ ತೇಜಸ್ವಿನಾವಧೀತಮಸ್ತು ಮಾ ವಿದ್ವಿಷಾವಹೈ ಓಂ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ. We were seeing the mantra last class. Nice mantra we saw. ನತತ್ರ ಸೂರ್ಯೋ ಭಾತಿ ಚಂದ್ರ ತಾರಕಂ ಹೇಮಾ ವಿದ್ಯುತೋ ಭಾಂತಿ ಕೃತೋಯಮಗ್ನಿ ತಮೇವ ಭಾಂತಮನು ಭಾತಿ ಸರ್ವಂ ಸಸ್ಯ ಭಾಸಾ ಸರ್ವಮಿದಂ ವಿಭಾತಿ. We saw that why that mantra was given. If the question arises, how to discover that Atma? Then it is said that Atma is available for recognition only as the very nature, essential nature, very truth, the surupam of the knower I in one's own mind, which means Atma is never available for objectification, perception, or knowledge. Atma is an object of knowledge. Atma is neither the subject of knowledge, but still recognizability. Atma can be recognized only as the truth of the knower subject I, not as an object. That is what is hinted here. Because the entire world of opaque things is dependent on sources of light to come to light. And so we think those sources of light to be shining independently, bhanti. But Shastram says, no, even those sources of light which bring the world of opaque things to light actually also shine after the seeing power in the eye. If a seeing power is the light from the standpoint of the sources of light, even sources of light shine after the light of seeing power. Similarly, every object in the world shines after the respective sense or sense power. Because respective sense power is the light which lights up its respective object, which means the entire objective universe does not have independent existence of its own. It is entire objective world obtaining in five different forms as five different objects, which is constituted of five different objects, is absolutely dependent on the lights of sense powers to come to light. And each sense powers, including seeing power, is dependent on the mind, the light of mind, to be able to have the status of being the illuminated. The sense powers are dependent on the light of mind to come to light. Therefore, the sense powers also anubhanti, manahabhati. And even this light mind, the light of mind also is dependent on the light of eye, which means the light of consciousness to come to light. Whereas consciousness is not dependent on any other source of light to come to light. Therefore, consciousness alone, the consciousness implied with the term Atma, alone shines independently. Bhati, Swayam Bhati. The mantra said, the entire world shines after the only light of consciousness implied by the term Atma, which is nothing but the truth of I. We saw that in the previous class. Thereafter, we entered into next mantra, Urdhamulam Avakshakaha. Right? Yeah. ಊರ್ಧಮೂಲೋ ವಾಕ್ಶಾಖೇಶೋ ಸ್ವತ್ತಃ ಸನಾತನಃ ತದೇವಂ ಶುಕ್ರಂ ತದ್ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ತದೇವಾಮೃತಮುಚ್ಯತೆ ತಸ್ಮಿನ್ ಲೋಕಾಶ್ರಿತಾ ಸರ್ವೇ ತದು ನಾತ್ಯೇತಿ ಕಶ್ಚನ ಏತದ್ವೈತತ್. ಹಿಯರ್ ಫಾರ್ ದಿಸ್ ಎಂಟೈರ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಈಸ್ ಕಾರ್ಯಂ which is perennially eternal, which is not newly created. Therefore, this is Sanatanaha. Sanatanaha, it is like quite perennially eternal. Therefore, it is likened to an Ashwatha Vriksha, Ashwatha tree, a people tree. And here, generally, any root of the tree will be below. But this, the universe, the root of it, the source of it, the cause of it, which lends existence to this world, is Brahma. Therefore, it is said to be what? Brahman is above, urdhamolaha, the root of this tree. The tree in terms of the universe is above. For this tree, this universe tree is said to be urdhamolaha, which has its roots above. Avakshakaha, and the branches are below. Which means it continues to be here. And what is that root? That root is of the absolute purity, is of the nature of absolute purity, Shukram Bhavati. And that is absolutely immortal also. There is no beginning, no end, no change. It is absolutely immortal. Amritam Bhavati. And that reality alone is said to be implied by the term Brahma. It is in that Brahma, Sarve Lokaha Shritaha. All the worlds, all the 14 worlds above and below, all of them enjoy their existence only in that Brahma. All are based in that Brahma. No world, nothing exceeds that Brahma. Therefore, what? That Brahman alone is in the form of this universe. This universe is nothing but that Brahma. This literal meaning you have already seen. Of course, you'll be seeing the explanations again when we do the Bhashyam. But we'll be doing the Bhashyam soon. Now, let me do the next mantra also. Then again, we'll come back to this. It needs a lot of explanation. I'll come back to this. Let me do the next mantra. Now, the following mantras, then we'll come back to this.
यदिदं किञ्च जगत् सर्वं प्राणये जति निसृतम् यदिदं किञ्च जगत् सर्वं प्राणये जति निसृतम् महद्भयं वज्रमुद्यतं ययेतद्विदुरमृतास्ते भवन्ति यदिदं किञ्च जगत् सर्वं प्राणये जति निसृतम् Mahadbhayam Vajramudyatam Yayetad Viduramrutaste Bhavanti Yadidam Kincha Jagat Sarvam Pranaye Jati Nisrutam Mahadbhayam Vajramudyatam Yayetad Viduramrutaste Bhavanti.
Okay. So here, yat idam, yad idam, yadidam, kincha, jagat. So whatever little is here, in term the form of the universe. Whatever little is here in the form of universe means what? And compared to the Brahman, the universe is nothing. That's what is kincha. Whatever universe is here. Idam yat yad means that universe which is here. Yad means that which is here in the form of this universe. Yad idam sarvam jagat. That which is in the form of this entirety of the universe. Then, kim cha, and also, whatever is in this universe. Kim cha, moreover. Kim cha means moreover. But here, so whatever exists as part of this universe. Whatever exists in this universe as part of it. whatever this universe consists of is meant by that expression kincha. So yad idam sarvam jagat, whatever is this entirety of the universe, kincha, and whatever is here in this world as part of the world, everything nisritam means nissarati. Nissarati is a verb, nisritam is a participle. So nisritam, take it as nisarati. I mean, whatever comes out, whatever originates, whatever emerges. Yejati, whatever emerges, nisarati. Nisritam should be taken as nisarati. Whatever emerges, then ejati. Whatever moves, ejati means gachati. Ejati, whatever moves. And here, everything is everything remains in Brahman. Everything is in Brahma. Prane, prane tishtati. Prane, here the word pranaha means life. What is the life of everything? Is Brahma. The word prana stands for Brahma. Therefore, prane, when there is life in the form of Brahman, prane, the prane is locative case, sati saptami. Prane sati. Only when there is life in the form of Brahma, then the entirety of the universe, that universe which is here, and all everything that exists as part of this universe, everything which emerges and everything which moves, it's all only when there is Brahman, only because of Brahman. Prane, it means everything moves, everything originates, emerges. It's all because of the blessing of Brahma. Prane sati. Mere existence of Brahma. It's all because of the existence of Brahma. The entire universe comes into existence. And all, everything which exists as part of the universe also moves, is all because of the blessing of Brahma. Prane vidyamane sati. Only when, because of the mere existence of Brahma. So what does the first sentence say? First sentence says, existence of Brahman is existence of the world, existence of the universe. Existence of Brahman is existence of all the beings which exist as part of the universe. One sentence is enough. Existence of Brahman is the existence of the universe, which means universe cannot exist at all independently without Brahma. It means existence of the universe is Brahma. Just as existence of the ocean is water, existence of the universe is Brahma. What is Brahma? We've been trying to understand the abstract, subtlest, formless, inexplicably subtlest to formless reality, obtaining in him a pure consciousness, implied by the term Atma or Brahma, that arrived as one's own sarupam, is Brahma, that Brahman, existence of that abstract consciousness is the existence of this universe. Existence of the most intangible, subtlest reality consciousness is the existence of the tangible universe. Intangible reality is existence of the tangible universe. Consciousness is the existence of the gross material universe. That is what is the lesson really revealed by the first sentence. Yad idam jagat sarvam kincha. And everything which exists is part of this universe. Ejati nisrati nisratam moves, originates, emerges, moves. Only prane, only in the presence of Brahma. It means what? It is only because of Brahma. But for Brahma, universe has no existence at all. There's no life. There's no movement. There's no action. There cannot be origination. There cannot be emergence. There cannot be resolution. Dissolution. Nothing can happen. Nothing is possible without Brahma. The universe will remain as good as non-existent. Universe will remain ever unknown, covered in darkness. It will be non-existent without Brahma. It is only because of Brahma universe becomes manifest. Universe is available for recognition. Universe available for experience. Universe available for enjoyment. Universe enjoys the status of being existent. This is the lesson understood from the first sentence. And what a second sentence say? Mahat bhayam vajram udyatam ya etad viduhu te amrutaha bhavanti. Okay. Okay, this Brahman in the form of world, the Brahman which is in the form of the world, becomes what also? Mahat bhayam, great fear. Oh my God, Brahman is fear? Brahman is source of fear? No, Brahman is a source of fearlessness. But how it is said? If ununderstood, as long as Brahman is not recognized as one's own Sarupam, Brahman is not understood, the same Brahman, which alone is the name of the universe, is a great fear. Like what it is said, Udyatam Vajram Iva, Udyatam Vajram Iva Mahadbhayam. Because this, if Brahman alone is, nothing else can be a source of fear also. Source of fearlessness also is Brahma. So Brahman alone becomes a fear also. Isn't it? So it is said here, Udyatam Vajram Iva. Okay. Here, Vajram here is a thunderbolt. How this Brahman in the home of universe is also a great fear, big terror, like somebody with an uplifted thunderbolt. Udyatam means lifted, up, uplifted. One who carries a thunderbolt. Udyatam Vajram Iva. When the person was uplifted the Udyatam, the thunderbolt, can really kill another person. When you see somebody lifting the sword or something, that person is a fear, becomes a person of terror. That is this Brahman of universe also, when ununderstood, becomes a great fear, big terror, like somebody, like a person who has lifted his sword, lifted his thunderbolt, lifted the thunderbolt. Udyatam Vajram Iva Tade Mahadbhayam Bhavati. Whereas ஏ தோஸ் பீப்புள் யா ஷுட் பி டேக்கன் அஸ் ஏ ஏ மீன்ஸ் லெட் இட் பண்ணணும் தோஸ் பீப்புள் ஹூ விது ஹூ தோஸ் பீப்புள் ஹூ ஹவ் டிஸ்கவர்ட் திஸ் பிரம்மன் விதுஹு மீன்ஸ் நோ ஏ விதுஹு தட் ஏ காரம் ட்ராப் ட்ராப் பிகாஸ் ஆஃப் சந்தி ஏ விதுஹு தோஸ் பீப்புள் ஹவ் டிஸ்கவர்ட் ஹூ நோ திஸ் ட்ரூத் பிரம்ம தே தோஸ் பீப்புள் பிகம் ஃப்ரீ ஃப்ரம் ஃபியர் ஃப்ரீ ஃப்ரம் ஃபியர் ஸோ திஸ் பிரம்மன் இன் த ஃபார்ம் ஆஃப் வேர்ல்ட் பிகம்ஸ் அ கிரேட் ஃபியர் big terror if ununderstood like somebody was lifted the thunderbolt whereas the same brahma but those people who have discovered that brahma who know this brahma ye viduhu those people become immortal means what immortal means they become free from the hold of fear for good amrutaha literally means amrutaha bhavanti they become immortal means what it implies they become free from the hold of the phenomenon called fear for good jnanis do not know what fear is absolutely they become fearless because they become free from the phenomenon called fear. When can a person become free from the hold of the phenomenon called fear? The fear will be resolved for good when they discover fearlessness, being the very nature of their own nature. When can they discover fearlessness, being their own nature? When they discover that Brahman is one's own Swarupam, and Brahman is absolutely beginningless, endless, changeless, and it is timeless. Brahman is not subject to any death. Brahman is of the nature of immortality. When they discover immortal reality, Brahman as their own self, then they understand the fact that they are immortal. Their own self is immortal. I, the self, am immortal reality, Brahma. I am immortal. I am not the mortal body. I am not the mortal sense organs. I am not anything which is material, mortal body, mansions, complex. I am non-arriving, non-departing, everlasting, beginningless, endless, changeless. Okay, immortal consciousness implied with the term Brahma. I itself am immortal reality. When they shifted the essence from anatma, body, mansions, complex to Brahma by discovering Brahman as one's own Swarupam, that is when they take immortality as their own nature, then they become immortal. Whether you know, you do not know. Shastram says you are immortal. You are essentially immortal. Of course, your body is subject to death. Body is subject to change. Your mind is subject to change. All the material body imagines complex is subject to change. But you are absolutely of the nature of changelessness. You are of the nature of immortality. You are Brahma. This is the fact. But as long as you do not know that you are Brahma, when you mistake your body imagines complex for yourself, you are a mortal being. You mistake yourself to be a mortal, then you are a mortal. If you discover your nature being immortality, when claim immortality as your own nature, then you are a immortal being. Therefore, you become as though you become immortal. When you're discovering Brahma, you become as though immortal. You're already immortal. So, people who know that Brahma, which is the name of the world, which is a great terror, those people become immortal. How? By claiming immortality as their own nature, by discovering their identity with Brahma, thereby they become free from the hold of the phenomenon called fear for good. They resolve the phenomenon called fear for good, thereby they resolve all the emotions also. That's how they become immortal. Therefore, if you discover Brahma, Brahman is the source of fearlessness. If we do not discover Brahma, the same Brahma, which is in the form of the world, becomes a great terror. Big source of fear. Mahadbhayam vajram udyatam. Ye etad viduhu te amrutaha bhavanti. Ye etad viduhu te amrutaha bhavanti. Those people who know this Brahma, they alone become immortal. Becoming immortal means what? Do not become immortal. They can claim immortality. They can take ownership of immortality, which is already there as their own nature. Thereby, they become free from fear of death. And becoming free from fear of death is becoming free from the hold of the very phenomenon called fear for good. Okay. This is the literal meaning of this mantra. If Brahman is not understood, not recognized as one's own Swarupam, thereby, as long as you do not shift your identity from anatma, body, mansions, complex to Brahma, there'll be fear. Okay, this one thing. And here, there's a beautiful thing. Everything in this universe, wherever there is life, wherever there are functions, even the non-living things, they are all within, they all exist within the realm of an order. The sun, moon, stars, elements, wind, etc. Every phenomenon, living or non-living thing, everything exists within the realm of an order. And there is a universal natural moral law and order. Nothing exists outside of the order here. And that order is backed by knowledge. And that knowledge is Ishvara. And the source of that manifestation of knowledge is Brahma. Therefore, everything here, Brahman, the absolute reality implied by the term Brahma, does not need to command, make a order. Just by its mere presence, like just the king just looks at the soldier, king looks at the minister, he does the needful. King need not open his mouth and say something. Mere look, seeing is enough. The minister understands. The minister sees, the soldiers understand. The entire country is maintained. Similarly here, this entire world, the entirety of the universe, everything is maintained. Everything exists within the realm of an order. And that order, that knowledge backing that order is Ishvara, who is another than absolutely reality, Brahma. Therefore, it is said, everything functions because of the fear. Fear of Brahma means what? Because why the minister does anything? Because he cannot go against the king's wish. A minister cannot go against the king wish of the king. So all the soldiers, all other subordinates, everybody in the country, then in the kingdom, should not go against the wish of the king. And the king himself does not go against Dharma. I mean, everything is, what is that which lends power to the king? Because of his commitment to Dharma. Here, Brahman as Ishvara is in the form of the very law and order, universal, natural, moral law and order. Therefore, what happens? Everything in this universe is functioning, existing within the realm of that universal, natural, moral law and order, backed by knowledge which is Ishvara, the source of which is Brahma. Okay, that is beautifully said here. In fact, why should we know this sloka here, mantra here? So everything is within the realm of an order means, even as a human being, being blessed with knowledge of right and wrong, being blessed with the willpower, we also cannot transgress Dharma. We also should live our lives in conformity with this universal moral law and order, so that we do not disturb the order, that therefore Thereby, we do not disturb the universal harmony. If we go against the order, if we transgress the values, if we disturb the universal order, thereby we are disturbing the universal harmony. If we disturb the universal harmony, we will be disturbed by the same order. It's another fact. Okay. Something beautiful here. There's nothing which exists outside of order. Everything is within the realm of the order. And what is that order? That order is Ishvara. That order is backed by knowledge, which is Ishvara. And the source of that knowledge is Brahma. Therefore, everything is within the realm of Brahma. Therefore, it looks as though everything functions out of fear of that Brahma. Which means, this universe, even though there's no creation of the universe, it's only a manifestation. And this, the universe also becomes manifest with a given purpose. The manifestation of universe is definitely involves a great purpose, which means it is a well-designed, properly planned manifestation. So what? What's the purpose, ultimate purpose? The entire universe becomes manifest purposefully. The proper design, we properly designed, ultimately for helping the jivas, helping all the individual beings to exhaust the results of actions in terms of punyam and papam, which they've accumulated in their lives. The punyam and papam has to be exhausted in terms of going through the experience of pleasure and pain. There's no way of escaping it, which means there is an order involved. Why I go through what I'm going through in my life? The person whom I'm associating with, the place where I'm living, the people whom I have acquainted, okay, people whom I know are associated with, my neighbors, or any, all these people and situations are only instrumental for us to go through, to exhaust our own punyam and papa. That's why nothing in the world can be, needs to be blamed for what we go through in life. For punyam, for exhausting, for experiencing some pleasure, definitely the objects are not sources of pleasure. The objects are only instruments for you to exhaust your punyam in the form of experiencing some pleasure in life. If we go through pain, my God, the people whom we associate with, the situations are only instrumental for experiencing, for going through our own papam in the form of pain. Result of papam in the form of pain. Therefore, they're all ordained by natural laws. They're all within the realm of an order. Therefore, which means this order cannot be by itself. Order must be backed by knowledge. And that knowledge is, in fact, Ishvara. The manifest knowledge is Ishvara. And that now the source of manifestation is Brahma. Therefore, that is what we say. The manifest knowledge is what? The intelligent cause. Intelligent cause. There is intelligence involved, knowledge involved behind this order. Therefore, how it is the entire universe is here? It is well maintained. It's not orderly. It's everything is in proper order. How? It's all because of the knowledge. There's a source of knowledge. All knowledge. And the knowledge personified is what we say. The knowledge is manifest. The manifest knowledge personified is, we say, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, Ishvara. And it is within the realm of that knowledge. It is not backed by the knowledge alone. There is a universal natural moral law and order, and within the realm of which everything exists, everything functions, everything happens. Therefore, it is very important for a human being to live one's life consciously in conformity with universal values in order not to disturb this universal order. If this universe has to survive properly, and this one must be conscious of not violating this law, which means every law functions perfectly. Every law is in proper order. That's why every natural phenomenon, which is looked upon as devata, manifestation of knowledge, is also every devata governs respective laws. That all these natural laws are in proper order. That natural phenomena are functioning. So they seem to be functioning because of the fear they have for Ishvara, the Lord. That is beautifully said in this third mantra. In the Taittiriya also it comes, after seeing this, we'll see that also. Bhayadagnistapati, bhayadasyagnistapati, bhayadasyagnistapati, bhayatapati suryaha, bhayadindrascha vayuscha, mrityurdhavati panchamaha. The same mantra, similar mantra we come across in Taittiriya Upanishad also. Bhayadasyagnistapati, bhayatapati suryaha, bhayadindrascha vayuscha, mrityurdhavati panchamaha. Bhayadasyagnistapati, bhayatapati suryaha, bhayadindrascha vayuscha, mrityurdhavati panchamaha. The word bhayam, fear, here implies that everything is within the realm of an order backed by knowledge. Therefore, as a human being endowed with the willpower and knowledge of right and wrong, knowledge of self-existence, as a self-conscious being, it is very important for us to make a right choice in order not to disturb the order. Otherwise, we'll become the victims of the problem of transgressing, disturbing the order. Okay. Bhayadasya agnistapati, agnihi tapati. Fire never gets cold. Why? Fire is of the nature of burning. Why? There's an order involved. Fire should only burn. There's no choice on the part of the fire. Fire burns. And the burning capacity, the burning power on the part of the fire is what? Is because of the order. Fire burns because fire exists in this world as fire within the realm of the universal, natural, moral law and order. So, agnihi tapati, fire burns. Therefore, it is said, the fire burns not by itself. Existence of the fire with the burning capacity is within the realm of an order. Therefore, it is said, bhayat, asya bhayat. Asya bhayat means the fire cannot exist in the outside of the order, which is not backed by knowledge. Therefore, what it is said, because of the fear of Brahman Ishvara, because of the fear of Brahman alone, Because of the fear means what? Out of fear for Brahman, fear of Brahman, Ishvara, the fire burns. Don't take fear as literally. Fear implies here, it has to exist only within the realm of an order. There's no orderliness. Okay, fire burns out of fear of Brahma. Agnihi tapati. So also what? Suryaha tapati. Again, the Surya Bhagavan, the phenomenon called the sun. Sun also. See, tapati means burns. Tapati also means what? Emerges heat. Tapati means emerges heat. So burns. And the sun also illumines. Therefore what? It shines. Sun shines, sun illumines. Tapati. Suryaha tapati. Sun shines. Why does the sun shine? Shining is its nature, surupam. And because by its very surupam of shining, it also illumines. Illumining is its surupam. Tapati bhasate bhasayati. It shines, it also brings the world of paintings to light. Not by doing something, by its very nature, by its mere existence, by its mere nature. Why does the sun shine? Why does it bring the world to light? That's the nature. Why is that nature? That is within the realm of an order. That order is backed by knowledge. And that knowledge is Ishvara. Ishvara Swarupam is Brahma. Therefore, it looks, even the sun also shines out of fear of Ishvara, who is another than Brahma. There's no Ishvara other than Brahma for us. Truth. Bhayat Suryaha Tapati. Sun also shines out of fear. Now, Indraha cha. See, some devatas are mentioned. We can include every small thing, okay? Everything here we have to take into account. Vayuhu. Indraha cha Vayuhu. So, Indra Devata. Indra Devata, you all know very well. Indraha has many meanings. One of the meanings of Indraha is Ishvara also. Idam taya drishyate anena iti Indraha. The one by whom the entire world is seen as this is Indraha, the Lord, Ishvara. But here Indraha is a Devata, Indraha is a Devata which symbolizes the prowess, physical prowess. Indra Devata. Then Vayuhu. Vayu, the wind. Wind blows. Vayuhu Vati. Why does the wind blow? Is it his action? Will involved action? No, it's very nature. It means the blowing nature of the wind. Element, phenomenon called wind with its nature exists within the realm of the order backed by knowledge which is Ishvara, which another than Brahma. Therefore, it looks as though wind also blows only out of fear of Brahma. Vayuhu Vati. Vati is not here. I'm adding the word. Vayuhu Bhayat. Then, cha mrityuhu. Mrityuhu dhavati panchama iti. It's said in Taittiriya Upanishad. Mrityuhu dhavati panchama iti. So, it is said, mrityuhu panchamaha dhavati. And after these four devatas mentioning Vayu Agnihi, Suryaha, Indraha and Vayuhu, we say Mrityuhu is a Panchamaha. The fifth, the devata mentioned here is Mrityuhu. And this Mrityuhu, who is Mrityuhu? Lord of death. Lord of death means what? Lord Yama, which is time. Time factor. Time factor also doesn't say stay in one place. You know, time keeps on moving. Every second, every fraction of second time, time moves. Every second time moves. Every fraction of second time moves. Every minute time moves. Every hour time moves. Every day time moves. Every week time moves. Every month time moves. Every year time moves. Time keeps on moving. So time runs. Okay, Mrityuhu, the fifth devata here, the list, the time also runs means what? Time keeps on moving. Why does the time, that is the nature of the time. Why does the time not stand? Why Mrityu, the Lord Yama, does not remain? Why keeps moving? Because that's the nature. And that nature within the realm of an order. Therefore, it is said, Mrityu Panchamaha Dhavati, the Lord Yama runs because of, out of fear of Bhagavan in the form of order, Bhagavan in the form of knowledge, which is, who is none other than Brahma. Out of fear of Brahma, time runs. Lord Yama runs. Okay. Therefore, what? The fear should not be literally taken as fear, as if we are all frightened. No. The word fear here implies that nothing can exist, nothing can function, nothing can be here with its nature outside of the order. Everything exists as it is only because of the order. And that order is backed by knowledge. Without the knowledge backing, there cannot be something called order at all. There cannot be something called order at all without the knowledge. There is knowledge, manifestation of knowledge backing the order. And that manifestation of knowledge is possible because it's a source of knowledge, which is Brahma, the pure knowledge, pure consciousness implied by Brahma. Implied by the word Brahma. That is why everything is in the realm of an order, and this order has to be maintained, and all the natural phenomena functioning within the realm of the order, existing within the realm of the order, they all contribute for universal harmony. All the animals also contribute for universal harmony because they cannot transgress the order. They cannot go against the order because they do not have choice over actions. So they all do not disturb the order. They all contribute for universal harmony. The only creature who can disturb the universal harmony by disturbing the universal law and order is a human being, because human being is a self-conscious being, has knowledge of self-existence. He has knowledge of existence of the world, has knowledge of the knowledge of right and wrong. Above all, my God, human being is blessed with the faculty of choice. He has free will. So there's a possibility of abusing the will, making use of proper use of the will. Can use the will consciously, thoughtfully. He can choose to do the right. He can refrain from the wrong. Making use of his knowledge of right and wrong. Thereby, he can also live in this world in conformity with the universal natural law and order. He can live his life without disturbing the order. He can also contribute for the universal harmony. Otherwise, human being can become a demon, rakshasa, asura, that he can abuse his will. He cannot use his knowledge of right and wrong. He may not use his knowledge of right and wrong. He can just do whatever he wants to do, and thereby he can disturb the order. He can go against the universal natural moral order and order, and thereby in the long run, he can be disturbed by the order also. That is why human being alone can accumulate punya papam. Human being alone has to go through the experience of undesirable, undesirable situations. Human being alone has to go through pleasure and pain, suffering also. Therefore, it's very important to understand this order. Otherwise, that's why we say terror. Okay, Bhagavan is not a terror. Bhagavan is Nigraha Karta. Bhagavan is Anugraha Karta. Bhagavan in the law and order is Anugraha Karta. He is the bestower of blessings. If you live your life without disturbing the order, if you live your life disturbing the order, then Bhagavan is the Karma Paladata. Bhagavan is the Nigraha Karta. Bhagavan is the punisher. Bhagavan will definitely punish. Bhagavan, him of law and order, will punish you for disturbing the order. Okay, Bhagavan is the very law and order. Bhagavan is karma phaladata. Therefore, there's no point in simply blaming Bhagavan. Okay, Bhagavan cannot help. So we have to understand, we have to live our lives in conformity with dharma. Amazing. This is the beautiful teaching. Okay, nowhere is it given here. This is given here in this shastram. Only in our shastram, Bhagavan is presented as the universal, natural, moral, law and order. As if we go against, then we will be punished. Why? Then Bhagavan is a terror. If our life is in conformity with dharma, we don't think Bhagavan is then the embodiment of compassion. Bhagavan is, you know, Karunanidhi, ocean of mercy. Okay. We'll see the next mantra, the fourth mantra. I'm going to hurry so that I can come back, go back to the bhashya. Iha chedashak ashak, iha chedashak kad bodham, iha chedashak kad bodham, prak sharirasya visrasaha, iha chedashakas bodh, iha chedashak kad bodhum, bodhum, not bodham, bodhum. Who is there? Iha chedashakad bodhum. Iha chedashakad bodhum. Praksharirasya visrasaha. Iha chedashakad bodhum. Praksharirasya visrasaha. ततस्सर्गेषु लोकेषु हरिरत्वाय कल्पते, हरिरत्वाय कल्पते, इह चेदशकद् बोद्धुम् प्राक्शरीरस्य विस्रसः ततस्सर्गेषु लोकेषु हरिरत्वाय कल्पते. So, when in the previous mantra, Upanishad talked about Ishvara is there in him of order, thereby order presupposes being backed by knowledge. Therefore, Ishvara is in him of knowledge backing the order. Ishvara is said to be what? Intelligent cause. At the same time, Ishvara himself is endowed with the power of knowing. Therefore, Ishvara is also the material cause of the universe. And that Ishvara, Swarupam is what? Reality, Brahma. Ishvara's Swarupam is Brahma. So the whole Jagat is manifestation of order, manifestation of knowledge, Ishvara. The entity of the cosmos is Ishvara. Why? The entity of cosmos is manifestation of knowledge. And what is the source of manifestation of knowledge? That is Brahma. Therefore, the truth of the universe, the truth of Ishvara in the home of universe is Brahma. The truth of Ishvara, the manifestation of what in terms of the universe is Brahma. And that Brahma, the truth of the universe, truth of Ishvara in the home of universe, Brahma, truth of Ishvara has to be discovered as the truth of one's own self. Because you are the whole, you are part of the whole, the Ishvara. You are non-separate from Ishvara, the whole. And the truth of the whole is truth of you also. And the truth of the whole, Ishvara, is available for recognition as your own Swarupam. That is how the truth of the universe can be discovered. Ishvara Swarupam can be discovered. Unless and until you discover the truth, there is bondage. You will continue to be in samsara forever. This is the fact. Again, it is revealed here. That knowledge has, that reality, Brahma, the source of all knowledge, the true source of manifestation of knowledge, the truth of Ishvara, the whole, has to be discovered. That is emphasized in this mantra. Iha cheda shakad bodhum prak sharirasya visrasaha tata sargeshu lokeshu hariratvaya kalpate. Okay, so here, Iha means what? In this world, in this life, here now. Iha means here. Here means where? In this world. In this world means where? When we are living in this world, here, now, okay, here. Sharirasya visrasaha prag. See, visrasaha falls. Visras means actually giving up. Fall. Sras. Visras. Let me make it very clear for you. Visras means fall, sakaranta shabda. Sras, if we take the word, sras is the word. Sras means falling. Sras means falling. It's adjective. Sras is a fall, means falling, dropping, leaving. Okay, dropping, falling is sras. Sakaranta shabda. And what is the verb here? Srasti. Anyway, so sras is the adjective. Sharirasya sras. That's all. Sakaranta shabda. So visras also means falling, dropping. Sakaran. Visrasaha. Fifth case. Visrasaha prak. Before the falling or dropping of the body. Visrasaha, visras is the word. Visrasaha is the fifth case. Visrasaha prak. Before the falling, before the dropping of what? Sharirasya. Before the dropping of the body. Before the falling of the body, sharirasya visrasaha prak, iha, in this world, we should do one thing. What is that? Bodhum, to know. We should make all possible efforts to discover that Brahma. Bodhum. Before sharirasya visrasaha prak, Brahma bodhum prayatnam kuriyat. One must make all possible efforts to discover that Brahma. Bodhum, to know. We cannot afford to waste our span of life simply maintaining the body, eating, drinking, sleeping, eating, drinking, sleeping, enjoying pleasures, going out and always working. Thing, you know, placing the mind only in material things, we can't afford to waste our time. So mantra says, iha bodhum ashakat chet. Ashakat chet. Na shaknoti chet. Ashakad bodhum ashakad chet. If a person makes all possible efforts, thereby, if a person is capable of discovering that Brahman, knowing that Brahman. Then, what happens? He can attain this core freedom. Shaknoti chet shakand. Ashakand chimi what now? Na. Iha ashakand bodham. If a person is capable of knowing that Brahman before the falling of the body, then he can escape from this ocean of samsara. Otherwise, na shaknoti ched. If a person is not able to discover that Brahman in this very life before the dropping of the body, if he continues to remain ignorant of that Brahman, then what will happen? Tataha sargeshu lokeshu. Sargeshu lokeshu. In the world of creations, okay? Sargaha here means a creature. The created being is Sargaha. Sargeshu lokeshu. In the world of created beings. In the world of created beings, the worlds of creatures. Sharirtvaya kalpate. One will be eligible only for assuming another body. Sharirathvaya means what? Kalpate. Kalpate means a person becomes capable, eligible, only for being endowed with the body. Sharirathvaya means what? Being endowed with the body is called Sharirathvam. The person becomes eligible, fit only for being endowed with the body means the person will helplessly be in remain in samsara, assuming another body, life after life after life after life after life. Every time assume a body, exhaust paradha, leave the physical body, assume another physical body, again exhaust the next of paradha, assume another body, exhaust, live a life of pairs of opposites, again lead a physical body, again assume another body, exhausting another set of prarabdha. This is how sargeshu lokeshu, in continuously remaining one, not one world, in every time he'll be born, there upon the person who is born, there is a world, a new world. The same world only, but it will be like a new world for him because he sees through a different eyes, different body. Therefore, sargeshu lokeshu, in the worlds of created beings, he will be there, he will be eligible only for being endowed with the body. Means he becomes eligible for assuming another body. Meanwhile, he will definitely assume another body. He'll continue to remain samsara in the worlds of created beings. There's no moksha for him. Why? Iha ashakad chet bodham. If a person is not capable of knowing, the person is capable of discovering, then before the fall of the body, then he can escape from the samsara. This is the lesson. Bodham ashakad means here are it doesn't mean a negative thing. A person somehow is capable of knowing the Brahman. Chet means if a person somehow is capable of knowing the Brahman before the fall of the body, then he can escape from samsara. That is implied. Otherwise, Tataha, otherwise, what happens? Tataha means otherwise. Remaining ignorant of Brahma, not knowing Brahma, he becomes eligible only for being endowed with the body in the world of, in the worlds of created beings. Sargeshu lokeshu hariratvaya kalpate. He'll remain in samsara forever. Okay, I think I'm stop here. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamadachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat. Rubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.